My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We're with you till 10 a.m. this morning. We're raising a bunch of money for the Barbara Bush Literacy Foundation today. You'll hear more about that throughout the show.
Heck yeah.
We've got the...
it's for the kids.
We've got... Yeah, good job. Keep it friendly. We've got the U of H AD, Eddie Nunez, coming on at 7:30 to talk about that a little bit. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Deshaun is back in everybody's life again in a non-football way. We'll get to that at 6:20 on the show today. Yeah. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm good. I was, I had to take care of myself, so I went to bed very early last night. So I got to watch some of the first half of the Jets game. I didn't get to watch the second half where Sauce Gardner was absent mysteriously. So I woke up this morning trying to sort all that out, and apparently he just got the wind knocked out of him.
Mm-hmm.
But the game last night I was intrigued by because Aaron Rodgers looked good enough, right? But just not quite the old Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be running around all over the place, and the scramble drill might not be as magnificent. But I could totally see where he could end up having a very good season.
I could see it. The lens I watch all these teams through that are on the Texans schedule is, okay, yeah. What do they make me feel like? What does this version of this guy make me feel like as a Texan fan? Because the Texans play the Jets Thursday night football, Halloween night. Week 9, they play. If the version of Aaron Rodgers that I saw last night is the version we get on Halloween night, I feel really good about the Texans' chances. There was nothing super threatening about the version of Aaron Rodgers that we got last night. 13-20.
Feel like you're going up against a solid accountant.
I mean, 13-21 for $167. He didn't do anything with his legs. He threw an interception that was kind of it was his fault because it was a tip drill. But the pass got, you know, it was not something that bounced off Garrett Wilson's hands and into somebody else's. Like, the Niners player batted it up in the air, and a Niners DB or linebacker, I think, came down with it. Then Malik Collins proceeded to get an unsportsmanlike conduct, so he's showing up for the Niners there. The Jets got waylaid last night. There's nothing really about Aaron Rodgers I saw that scares me. There's nothing about the Jets really that scares me. Just this Jordan Mason.
Yeah.
That was the big news, Seth, before the game last night, especially for fantasy owners, is that there was no Christian McCaffrey, probably no Christian McCaffrey this coming week. Apparently, according to Jordan Mason, he knew on Friday that he was starting. So fantasy people are livid today that they had McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey was saying he was going to be just fine. He misled you, fantasy owners.
Yep.
He screwed your whole lineup.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's just the right thing to do for Christian McCaffrey. He can't care about fantasy.
No. Game. So this Jordan Mason comes in, and he 28 carries for $147. He looks really good, and it makes me wonder, like, okay, why are the Niners paying $23 million or whatever it is to a running back when they just plugging these guys in like Mason and Mostert back in the day and Elijah Mitchell, and The killer
M. Honestly, I think that, look, Christian McCaffrey, kind of like Saquon Barkley, right? Like, he's going to provide something in the passing game and as an overall threat that not many people can provide. So, like, Christian McCaffrey puts stress on the defense in terms of, okay, what kind of personnel do we have on the field? And sometimes it's hard to quantify all that. But it's a vote for the system. It's a vote for the 49ers and what they do, which is a lot of what Bobby Slowick does, obviously. But I think that I thought of Joe Mixon versus Damian Pierce. So in that game, in a very limited sample size, Damian Pierce came in for three carries, had 5.3 yards per carry. It looked good. But when you watch those plays, you can see where, man, there's still a big difference with Joe Mixon. Those three carries that Damian Pierce had, I think Joe Mixon possibly either has a touchdown or averages 7 or 8 yards per carry on those. But Damian was doing just fine based on the blocking that he was getting and everything else. So, you know, not making a direct player-for-player comparison, I think that Damian's going to be in a better spot this year with more opportunities for positive yardage where he doesn't have to just make it all on his own.
Yeah.
And it's early. You know, Damian might pick up steam as he goes along. But The run game for the Texans this year, which we've been saying all offseason, if you want to be a genuinely elite offense, you got to be able to run the ball when a team decides to take the pass away. They were very much able to do that, both with Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. So I think last night was a vote for the system and a quarterback running the system adequately.
Yep.
So, And, also good for just, all right, the Jets, whatever the Jets become, it's not as scary right this moment for week one than maybe it could have looked.
Well, it was 32-19, and they scored a garbage touchdown from Tyrod Taylor at the end of the game. This game was a 20-point hammering by the 49ers, and the 49ers are going to hammer a lot of teams by 20 points this year. To the Texans, I agree. Like, Damian looked good. Look, it's not going to be 30 carries for Mixon and 3 carries for Pierce all season long. So he's assuming he's the number two guy. I can't assume anything else at this point. I know Cam Akers looked good in the preseason, and I know there's people that probably want to say, well, maybe sometimes the matchup will dictate that Cam Akers. Now, if Damian Pierce is healthy, it appears that this head coach and the GM, you know, Nick and D'Amico, both really like Damian Pierce. He's the number two guy until he proves in the regular season that he's not. Moving forward, the games are probably going to look a lot more like 20 carries for Mixon, 10 carries for Pierce. You can't go 30 and 3. I know you said going into this game that you called it. Like, you called exactly what this was going to look like in the Colts game on Friday when I asked you who the second leading rusher was going to be for the Texans. Yeah. And you said, I think it's probably going to be a wide receiver doing end arounds. And you were pretty damn close with that prediction. But it can't be that way every week, or else Joe Mixon will be in a hospital bed by the bye week.
Well, it can't be if it's a game where you run the ball 30 times.
Right.
You know, it could be. There will be plenty. I think there will be multiple games this year where your second leading rusher is a wide receiver, because that's another thing you can do to offset when teams are playing deep and the safeties are sitting back on their heels. Okay, there's room for end arounds there. So I think that we will see that. But, yeah, in a heavy running game, you want to get to the point where, especially if they can put away a team early, or at least be in position to put away a team early, and you really want to run the ball in the second half, then it's going to be a steady diet of various running backs. And, I would much prefer it not be Joe Mixon all the time.
Right. This was a game where I feel like it's the most, in my opinion, the most important game on the schedule. It was the road, you know, the best, second best team to you in the division on the road. It's the season opener. We're going to get off to a good start. So that is a game where you go, you know what, Joe, you're going to touch the ball 30 times. You know, Joe Mixon will not be carrying the ball 30 times against the New England Patriots in week six, I would guess. That kind
and
of
then I think defensively for the Texans, just going back and watching this morning, just trying to start to go through situational football and everything. Jimmy Ward's a conundrum at this point. And Kalen Bullock was out there, got quite a few snaps, made some plays, obviously. But I think that it was a combination of either Jimmy Ward just not being the guy he used to be, but also some things he can clean up in terms of reads and leverage and all of that. So there's room for improvement there after week one, where not everything was perfect at all. Part of it, too, is you got to credit Anthony Richardson that you're facing a mobile quarterback where the defensive line is trying really hard to be disciplined in their pass rush so he doesn't leak out of the pocket.
Yeah.
And on some of those deep balls, you were getting an okay pass rush, but it was also they were just really trying to compress the pocket. And a guy like Anthony Richardson's capable of making like that one play that the first Alec Pierce touchdown, which by NFL next gen stats was like the third longest air yards ever thrown by a quarterback on
he's
a
backing up
in
off
a game.
His back foot.
Right, and it was a good pass rush, right? I mean, it was it wasn't like he sat back in the pocket forever. It was an imperfect position from which to throw the ball.
No doubt.
That's the nightmare of going against that's going to be the nightmare of going against Anthony Richardson as long as he's healthy. Both the good and the bad in that game was he's very capable of making plays like that, but he's also very capable of airmailing a wide open receiver multiple times.
Yeah.
And it over the course of a season, that's going to bite them. That's going to keep them from being as good as they could really be. But on any given Sunday, it just sucks.
Yeah.
Because it's so random. You just got to be on alert all the time for
that
stuff.
Yeah, there's a ceiling on that team with this version of Anthony. He's got to get to be at least average at throwing the intermediate stuff.
Yeah, you know? I'm surprised in Indianapolis, they are just gushing and excited because in their minds – and I base this on media reports, but also just people attacking me on social media from mm-hmm. Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Kudos to you for finally getting 3G up there. But I think that this is exactly who Anthony Richardson has been and still is. It's like, oh, yeah, you see the upside. If you didn't know he was capable of that and you're a Colts fan, you're a damned idiot. It's the you got to start worrying about the boring stuff.
Right.
This guy's got to do the boring stuff, the easy pass on third down for first down that you airmail. Like, if you can't do that stuff, you're not going to be a good NFL quarterback.
Dude, the easy pass on third down. We got a quarterback that can make – that can throw absolute just lasers on third down. Have you seen – the end zone view, the all 22 view of CJ's 3rd and 11 throw to Nico.
Yeah.
It looks computer generated. It doesn't look real from that angle. It's crazy.
It looks like, you know how they always describe landing an airplane on an aircraft carrier?
Yeah.
It's like landing on a postage stamp
in a
storm. That's what it looks like. It looks like he's landing. It looks like he's landing an F-14 on an aircraft carrier on a stormy day.
He
just nails it.
Dude,
nails the landing.
It's like he is like a carnival act. Like he threw it through a football shaped hole, but he did it from 60 yards away. That, like there was this much space.
The NFL skills competition.
Yeah, it was wild, man. Go find it. It's crazy. All right, hey, we're raising money all day today for a cause that means a ton to us here at Sports Radio 610. The My Home Library program. If you're a longtime listener, you know that we're real passionate about this here, and not just at Sports Radio 610, but all of Odyssey. It's the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. And we've worked with them for years, and this year's no different. 74% of Houston school children are considered economically disadvantaged. 61% of low-income families in Houston have no books at all in their homes. 60% of Houston area kids enter kindergarten each year lacking the required reading skills. No books in the house is a huge reason for that, so we want to help change that. So we're asking for your help to transform a Houston child's life with the gift of literacy. Text new books, all one word, N-E-W, books, to 41444, and all we're asking for is a donation of $30, because that buys a new home library for one Houston kid. So $30 gets them a library of 6 books. They get to pick out their own books. We've been at the book selection events where the kids pick them. The looks on their faces is priceless. They love it. So right now, our friends at Reliant are matching all the donations. So it's double the money. 30 from you, 30 from Reliant. Donate now. Send us a photo of your receipt, and we'll shout you out. Help us help Houston kids by texting new books to 41444. There's an area where you can put notes in there too. Put notes, put Texans, because we're in a little bit of a competition with Eric with a K, who's one of the DJs on the Morning Bullpen. He's a Cowboys fan. It's terrible.
I didn't know that.
He's a Cowboys fan, Seth.
Oh, yeah. Eric helps me out with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But now I don't know if I can accept that help anymore.
I know. That's one glitch. He's a Cowboys fan. So he's having his listeners put Cowboys in there if they're a Cowboy fan. We want to obliterate them. Put Texans in the notes so we can obliterate Eric and the Cowboy fans. All right, up next, Deshaun Watson is back in the news. It ain't good. And it's got Cleveland burning to the ground right now. We will get you up to speed. It involves Houston. Not the Texans, but just the city of Houston. We will get to that coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll get to some Texans today. D'Amico met with the media yesterday. Tank Dell, Will Anderson's good day yesterday. Kamari Lassiter, good day yesterday. Astros back at it tonight. We'll get to that in headlines a little later. They got the A's in town for three games. 4.5 games, I believe, still the lead in the AL West. They've got 19 games to go in the season. Spencer Arrighetti on the mound tonight. Deshaun Watson is back in the news. This came down middle of the afternoon yesterday. And Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, as he struggles to regain his old form, I'm reading this straight from Mike Florio, has a new legal issue. On Monday, Watson was sued in Houston for sexual assault and battery and intentional infliction of emotional distress. The accusations are strikingly similar to those made against Watson in more than 20 lawsuits filed in 2021. However, the plaintiff in the new case, who filed under the Jane Doe pseudonym, contends that she went on a date with Watson. Most, if not all, other cases arose from paid massages that Watson had arranged. The lawsuit explains, real quick, the date was set for October 10th, 2020. So this is back week five of the COVID. This is the week after Bill O'Brien got fired. I'm not connecting those two things for any reason, but just to put people in the moment as to where we were as a country, kind of, because it's during the COVID season, and where we were in the football season. That's about week five of the football season back in 2020, Watson's last season active with the Texans. Watson, per the lawsuit, was initially unable to find Jane Doe's apartment. He called her, allegedly began, quote, aggressively yelling and screaming and stating he couldn't find her apartment and that he doesn't have time for this. And then the lawsuit contains a ton of allegations that once he got to the apartment that are pretty disturbing. And a lot of it probably not best to detail at 6:22 with people on their way to school, potentially.
I think one big difference between this and the other ones, two big differences. One, it was not a massage therapy situation or what have you. And two, that it's forcible. There is some forcible
Yeah, there's rape in here.
Yeah. I don't know how graphic you wanted to get.
Yeah.
And a whole lot of legal differences and everything that we don't need to go into. But in some, like, a lot of the very same similar mannerisms. It sounded a lot like the other cases in terms of how he went about trying to coerce and everything. And I guess, it's very, very ugly on the allegation side of things. I do wonder, you know, unfortunately, it's just the nature of these things. It's a lot of he said, she said.
Yep.
So I don't know exactly what the chance for success for the plaintiff or whatever it might be, but it's ugly stuff. It's ugly stuff.
These are the things that probably that we should point out, independent of all the allegations in the lawsuit. The big one to me is Tony Busby is representing Jane Doe in this.
Yeah.
So, you know, Busby, back when Deshaun was getting sued, didn't take on all the cases. There were some people that came to him that he didn't take on. He is taking this one on. So I think that's notable. This is not a separate lawyer. This isn't a Jane Doe who's gone to another lawyer and suing Deshaun. That Busby is involved, to me, it matters. To what degree, I don't know. Like, there's so much more to unpack with all this. The other thing is that there is language in Deshaun's contract right now about disclosing at the time that he was traded to Cleveland and signed that new deal, he needed to, I guess, disclose in writing if there were any other situations out there that could result in something like this. We don't know yet if this is something that Deshaun potentially disclosed to the Browns or did not. There's been no statement from the league has had no comment on this. The Browns have had no comment on this. They're off today up in Berea, Ohio. It's Tuesday, so everybody's out of the building, so nobody's going to be back in there. They could, in terms of Deshaun or the coaches, until tomorrow. So in reading Mike Florio, that part could matter in terms of a suspension for Deshaun. You know, if this is something new that he didn't disclose, then the conduct policy may come into play severely. If the conduct policy comes into play, then the Browns might be able to get out of the future guarantee. I know it feels a little unsavory going straight, like 2 minutes ago, talking about sexual assault to what the contract ramifications are, but this is a sports show. That potentially there's nearly $100 million of guarantees that the Browns could get out from underneath if Deshaun is subject to the personal conduct policy.
Right, yeah, and Deshaun is doing, so strictly on the football side of things, when if we just try to compartmentalize it, okay, you've got a quarterback who's going through these legal issues that are not new in terms of the type and nature and quantity of them. There is still at least one or two, the reporting gets murky. There's at least one other outstanding lawsuit. The one
from the old ones.
The one woman that just refused to settle and is just flat out adamant, you know, that she's going to take this on. So you've got a quarterback who's not playing well at all. You know, it's got a quarterback. You'd be upset with the money you're paying him as a rookie on a normal deal if this was your quarterback.
Yes.
If this was your third round draft pick thrust into action, you would not want this guy being your quarterback. And yet here you are. This guy is an anchor on the organization from a salary cap standpoint. There's just a bomb waiting to explode salary cap wise next year with his contract. So I think if you're going to be purely divorce all the other stuff from it, the moral side and everything, it's kind of like a get out of jail free card for the Browns if this is something that he didn't disclose beforehand.
Yeah.
And remember, like, at some point Deshaun had to sit down with his team of attorneys and detail every potential encounter he might have had over the course of like a 2 or 3 year period. And I don't know, given the quantity of just the ones we know about, I don't know, like, either because administratively or emotionally, it would be really difficult to go through, and it would be kind of embarrassing, man, when you're going through and having to try to list every single encounter you may have had over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, the sheer quantity. Now, there's nearly $170 million in guarantees that the Browns are still on the hook for. About half of that is money that they've already paid Deshaun that they've shoved into future years like a credit card. But $92 million of it are his salaries for next year and the following year. Those are guaranteed as of right now. So there's still between $80 and $90 million that if they part ways with Deshaun, this is a Russell Wilson. Best case, this is a Russell Wilson situation where it was $85 million for the Broncos.
And the thing, and remember, and like honestly, I'm not even qualified to explain it. But as far as just in general, there were a lot of like Texas rules or Texas guidelines for what constitutes sexual misconduct and all of that, to where both the governing bodies that got involved with this, but the Houston DA and the actual judge that decided the suspension, where it felt like, especially the NFL judge basically said, oh yeah, he did all this.
Yeah.
And here's the suspension. But there's just, you can't necessarily punish based on this or that. So I guess the biggest question is whether it's in his contract or not. I think if you're the Browns and you're looking at it, there's a chance that Deshaun gets a year-long suspension.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the NFL comes in and says, all right, we've already punished you for this once, and now we're going to have to punish you again, and it's a year-long suspension, that would wipe out all of the salary and everything else like that. And maybe they pushed everything off to next year knowing there was a possibility of that.
Maybe. I mean, the money they've already paid him 2 years ago, last year, and this year, like that they've already cut a check for, they're going to be on the hook. Like the bonus money that got shoved into future years, they're going to be on the hook for that. If he gets suspended and it voids the future guarantees, they're going to cut him. I think they're just going to take the $80 million hickey on the money that they've already paid him, the same way the Broncos took it with Russell Wilson. And the Broncos did it with Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson is a perfect citizen. There's not a single Browns fan that would blame the Browns if Deshaun were to get suspended for this, and now all of a sudden the salaries, $46 million next year and $46 million the year after, the Browns aren't on the hook for anymore, that's not guaranteed. There's not a single Browns fan, I think, that would blame the Browns for going, yep, we'll take all the $80 million, you know, or however they have to split it up, you know, June 1st cut, whatever, to get rid of Deshaun Watson. If he gets suspended, he's getting cut by the Browns. I feel strongly about that.
Well, they got the added dynamic of Jimmy Haslam's trying to get public money for a new stadium.
Yes.
It's not looking so hot right now for all of that. Yeah. How much was Matt Ryan's dead hit for the
Falcons? $40 million.
Yeah. And part of that was as they're making they tried to make a play for Deshaun too.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's you're right. Atlanta, New Orleans, and Carolina. Like Carolina, it's miserable in Carolina right now. Like I listened in for a segment to Carolina afternoon radio yesterday. Like they're miserable. And yet, even as bad as this whole thing's been with Bryce Young and trading up to get him, feel good, Carolina, because you could have traded even more draft capital to give Deshaun Watson $230 million, you know?
Yeah. The Panthers.
They can move on from Bryce Young.
All those teams kind of put it out there that they were cool with making the moral gamble. You know, like all those teams did that they were willing to do anything and everything to get this guy. Meanwhile, and you've laid this out multiple times about just as far as to bring it to just football and leave all the ugliness out of it. That trade, Sean, I mean, right now, you're looking at the players that have been yielded to the Texans by that trade. There's 11 players right now on the roster that have some part of those trade picks attached to them.
Yeah.
And really, you could possibly go 10 for 11 on those players. Mm-hmm. Thomas Booker is the only one who definitively didn't work out. And now with Kenyon Green playing the way he did in the run game, especially the other day, looking like he did, looked very good. And with Damian Pierce looking like, okay, this, all right, might be all right with Damian Pierce as a backup running back. That's 10 players out of 11 so far. And you still have plus Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
So 11 for 12, really. That is an absurdly successful trade.
Yes.
If that's the way it all plays out.
Yep.
That is absurdly successful in a very, under very ugly circumstances that Nick Caserio was navigating.
The players directly tied to the three first round picks.
Yeah.
You know, again, Nick didn't stay in any of those spots and draft with Cleveland's pick. He moved back a little bit to get Kenyon. He moved up to get Will with that pick, Will Anderson. Yeah. And then he moved back to get Kamari Lassiter and got a second round pick that was used to get Stephon Diggs. The three first round picks in that trade, this is all you need to know. The three first-round picks in that trade, and it's not like super tangentially tied to, it is like directly tied to Kenyon Green, Will Anderson, Kamari Lassiter, and Stephon Diggs. Those four players, And then there's Christian Harris on this graphic, and Tank Dell on this graphic, and Damian Pierce on this graphic. You're right. Other than Thomas Booker, they could go 10 for 11. They're not all going to be Pro Bowlers, but they're all contributing in some way and have contributed in some way, and some at a high level.
If you compare it to the Herschel Walker trade, I guess the difference would be, all right, like, okay, the Herschel Walker trade was a great trade for the Cowboys, one of the all-time, you know, great things that they did. Herschel Walker didn't do much. Like, it wasn't, obviously it wasn't worth it for Minnesota, but I guess he was still at least a credible running back. He only had one 1,000-yard season after he was traded in his entire career.
Yeah.
Dallas traded him after he had a 1,500-yard season.
Right.
But you do have to give, that was a really bad trade for Minnesota in a lot of respects. They did not get the franchise mainstay that was going to drive them to excellence,
no,
obviously. But I feel like Deshaun's even worse because of the salary involved, because of the position he plays, all of that.
All of that.
Well, running backs were more important back then, but still, my gosh.
Yeah, Deshaun's been bad. He's one of, if not the worst quarterback in the league right now. It's really bad. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Hey, it's a big Tuesday around here. We're raising money all day today for the Barbara Bush Houston Literacy Foundation. 74% of Houston school children are considered economically disadvantaged, and 61% of low-income families in Houston have no books in their homes. Literacy is a huge thing, man, just in terms of the societal effect. The ripple effect of illiteracy, it's something that's kind of invisible. You don't really tie the two together. But they've tied it together with data, with illiteracy rates, with crime and poverty and mental health and all of those things. You're making Houston a much better place by getting books into the hands of these disadvantaged kids. And all we're asking for today is $30. It gets a kid a whole library of books that they get to pick. It's really cool. Text new books, all one word, N-E-W, new books, to 41444. $30 is all we're looking for. Right now, Reliant is matching that. So your $30 is really $60, thanks to Reliant, and we're excited. Put the word Texans in the notes, because we're trying to obliterate Cowboy fan Eric with a K on the morning bullpen. So when you're putting your notes in there, just make a note, Texans, and then you can just put Texans, there you go, Eric, or something like that. But just put Texans in there, that's cool. 41444, text new books, and we're raising a lot of money today for that awesome cause. Headlines up next, D'Amico Ryans. Talked about the win over the Colts on Sunday on his coach's show. We'll hear from him. Monday Night Football last night, and the Astros back at it. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
Right, let's get to headlines. D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday. We got the Bears coming up on Sunday, Sunday Night Football. The steam still coming off the win over the Colts on Sunday, 29-27. In Indianapolis, D'Amico Ryans on his coach's show last night talked about his wide receiver group, and no divas in this group.
They all stepped up. Very talented group, as you say, but there aren't, what I love about our group, there aren't any divas.
Yeah, right.
All those guys, they love and appreciate one another, and they go out and they don't care who gets the ball, right? And that's what's so cool about the group. We know they're talented. We know their accolades that they have. I mean, Steph just went over 10,000 yards in his career, but he's so excited about Tank on the reverse. It's so cool to see just the unselfish nature of those guys, the unselfish nature of our team. Like, that's the makings of a really good team.
Yeah, look, and I think also, whether you're a diva or not, you got to always make some concessions to human psychology, and you want to be sure that guys are getting their touches and everything. This played out kind of the ideal way that I would want to see it play out. When you want to talk about, just without anybody being a diva, just, all right, you've got really good wide receivers who want to be involved, that in this game, like I've been saying all offseason, Sean, it's about the touchdowns for me. I think that it's going to be impossible to figure out who's going to get mega yardage in any given game versus any given team, but there's going to be more opportunities for touchdowns. So Stephon Diggs, he's not on pace for 1,500 yards or anything, but he's got two receiving touchdowns already.
Mm-hmm.
Tank Dell was, I guess, the guy that received the least in terms, except Tank pointed out that he was targeted a bunch.
Yeah.
The targets were all pretty similar. I think Stephon was targeted actually the least, yet had two touchdowns.
Right.
It's not, there's not going to be any issues with these guys, I don't think, in terms of begging for the ball or anything. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for all of them.
Yeah. I mean, when at least one of the misses to Tank, I think if the same play happens this Sunday against the Bears, it's a touchdown. I think CJ, I'm talking about the crosser towards the back of the end zone there that the DB jumped up and knocked away with one hand.
Yeah.
You know, I think most of the time CJ puts that on Tank. He throws it to the back of the end zone and Tank runs and gets it and it's a touchdown. So, yeah, it is. I echo everything that D'Amico Ryan said right there. I echo. Like, it is just fun to see, especially with Diggs, given, you know, the reputation, but also the continued shade that gets thrown at Diggs from his previous fan bases. I felt like that was D'Amico saying there are no divas. That felt like a direct shot to Buffalo right there.
Or either an addressing of that talking point, yes, whatever it was. Yes. I think that there's another part of it, too, with Stephon Diggs, where if you look at the dynamic up in Buffalo, Josh Allen was still very much a question mark when Stephon Diggs showed up there. Josh Allen had just played in that playoff game versus the Texans, where he very much looked like the old Josh Allen. He did some good things, but he also did some really scary things in that playoff game. And he didn't look like a guy that was going to be a perennial all-pro by any stretch of the imagination.
Nope.
Then Stephon Diggs shows up, and there was a little bit of a big brother, little brother dynamic there. Whereas with CJ, he's already a made man in a lot of respects. This is his team. He doesn't need to be improved or bolstered to the point where, oh, wow, yeah, there he's good. He was already a known quantity in a lot by rookie standards.
Yeah.
And I also think, too, some of the interpersonal dynamics, the way Stephon Diggs communicates is, man, he is a hand talker. You know, he is animated and he's passionate. And some guys can handle conversation like that. I think other guys, don't necessarily, that's not the way that they're accustomed to communicating with people and everything. And I think that CJ is just a little bit more flexible in terms of communicating style.
Yeah, he's...
So I think that CJ and Stephon could probably get into a huge, like, not a shouting match, but an animated discussion about things, and it being, like, no big deal. Like,
right.
Neither of them think, like, oh, that got a little heated. I could see Josh Allen being in a conversation like that and be like, I wish he would have been
yelling.
A little bit more nice
stop
to me.
Stop yelling!
Yeah.
all right, so the Texans this Sunday Night Football. You can hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. 7:15 kick, I believe, for that game on Sunday. Monday Night Football last night, the Niners and the Jets. The Niners rolled up the Jets. 32-19, the final score. Aaron Rodgers made it through healthy, wasn't spectacular, 13 of 21, 167 yards. He had a touchdown pass to Alan Lazard. Didn't finish the game, but it wasn't because of health reasons. It's because it was a blowout. He was done with about 4 minutes to go in regulation. The Niners are really, really good. No Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk was rusty. He only had two catches. He dropped a catch in the end zone that a $30 million receiver should probably make. It was a diving play, but you get $30 million, that's a play you're expected to make. It didn't matter. They're just really, really good, the Niners.
I think one of the things, if you're a Jets fan, that's got to suck about that game is that it just looks like there's things systemically wrong with the Jets, starting with the fact that your offensive coordinator is Nathaniel Hackett. And, there are a lot of smart football people last night saying basically like this, so this is the offense, huh? It looks kind of like the offense run by an offensive coordinator that maybe people were trying to swap out, but they didn't know how much the Debo quarterback would like that.
Right, right, right.
You've got an offensive coordinator in there who's never actually been an offensive coordinator, a good offensive coordinator, and who is basically hand-chosen by your diva quarterback.
Right.
It's an ugly situation.
Yeah.
And you've got a defensive-minded head coach who did not have a great defensive performance versus the 49ers.
Dude.
It just, everything, for whatever situation you would hope for to get the most out of Aaron Rodgers, it doesn't really feel like that's it. Plus, by the way, there's a Netflix documentary of Aaron Rodgers dropping soon.
Oh, is there? God, Netflix has been prolific lately, man. They've got...
And their NFL content,
yeah. I mean, they've got that. There was another documentary they're dropping pretty soon. I forget. Oh, the 04 Red Sox. The Vince McMahon documentary drops later this month. That's going to be something. I think
meanwhile,
even,
I'm watching the Terror miniseries.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with football. It's scary as hell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's based on an expedition trying to find the Northwest Passage in the 1840s. Terrifying.
I think this Netflix thing's going to be around for a while.
This Netflix thing might make it.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for my latest DVDs to arrive in the mail, though. So I don't know. They got to hammer that out.
Yeah. Seth is calling customer service asking for his DVDs.
This is way too much of a tangent.
Yeah. Let's get through headlines. Yeah, Astros, A's the next 3 days. Spencer Arrighetti tonight, Hunter Brown Wednesday, Framber Valdez on Thursday. Got to take care of some business. The magic number is down to like 15 for the Astros to clinch the division. Combination of Astro wins and Mariners losses to clinch the division for the Astros. So we're getting down to it. There's only 19 games left in the season, which means there's probably only maybe three chances for Justin Verlander to pitch his way into the playoff rotation. That, to me, is the biggest storyline right now with the Astros, other than just trying to win the division. Biggest personnel storyline, two things, you know, like Kyle Tucker, you know, he's back, but he's got to get back to being Kyle Tucker again, and then Justin Verlander, it's kind of the same storyline, but I think a little more dire. Like, Tucker, I think, is going to be fine. Verlander, I don't know.
We're in an uncomfortable spot where you're wondering when watching the game on Sunday, like, all right, is Kyle Tucker going to be good enough to bail out Justin Verlander?
Right.
Is it going to be enough of an addition that Kyle Tucker and Yordan Alvarez can bail out Justin Verlander?
Yes.
That doesn't feel awesome, Sean. It doesn't feel awesome.
Yeah. There's a lot of other good stuff going on with the Astros. Like, other than that, like, everything else is kind of, you know, it's kind of tough. I mean, the outfield could hit a little bit better, but that's what you hope Tucker brings.
Sean, I'm getting ready. I'm trying to figure out what my sleep schedule is going to be during the season, especially when the Rockets start playing, because there's a whole lot of good but scary stuff going on with the Astros.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I'm very careful not to live stream during an Astros game, but after the game, I'm like, well, I'm gonna live stream the pee out of this.
Absolutely.
And because there a lot of people are watching a lot of sports right this.
No moment. Doubt, no doubt. Yeah, this the first taste of knowing that playoff baseball is coming up soon. Amy, they're reopening the River Oaks Theater over on Gray, and that's it's a cool old theater. They're reopening it, and I think they're showing that new Joker sequel.
A new movie in the River Oaks Theater, which used to be kind of like little art house stuff and everything.
Yeah, and I think they're still gonna do some of that stuff there. But Amy's like, it opens on October the 4th, I think, which is a Friday, and I'm like, no, we got to be careful. Could be playoff baseball that night, you know?
Yeah.
We got to be careful buying these tickets.
You can watch it on your phone. People love that.
Oh, yeah.
Just sit in the front row and watch it on your phone.
That is one of the nice things about iPick is they have those secluded booths so you can't actually check your phone and you're not bothering anybody except your spouse. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Hey, it's a Texans Ticket Tuesday. So you want to be at the game on Sunday night, be listening in the 7 o'clock hour. Your shot at Texans tickets as well as U of H tickets for U of H and Rice coming up in the next hour. What do we have coming up next? Our good friend Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider. We'll get his thoughts on the Texans win over the Colts and all the things going on in week one. Ross Tucker joins us for his weekly visit next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.